Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we are able to be together this morning, starting our day in prayer. Today is Wednesday, and this is now the season after Pentecost. And believe it or not, this is the 100th time that we have joined together in morning prayer, having begun this back at the beginning of Lent, continuing through the Lenten season, the Easter season, and now into the season after Pentecost. So I thank God that we've been able to make this a part of our day each day. Today we'll continue reading in 2 Corinthians. In our worship over the next few weeks, we'll have the second reading will be taken from this particular letter. So as we go along the way, please feel free to share any kind of questions or insights that come to you this week. As always, you can drop me an email at pastorjim2006@icloud.com. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So, we're starting to recommend ourselves again, are we? Or perhaps we need, as some do, official references to give to you. Or perhaps even to get from you. You are our official reference. It's written on our hearts. Everybody can know it and read it. It's quite plain that you are a letter from the Messiah with us as the messengers, a letter not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of beating hearts. That's the kind of confidence we have toward God through the Messiah. It isn't as though we are qualified in ourselves to reckon that we have anything to offer of our own account. Our qualification comes from God. God has qualified us to be stewards of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, you see, but the Spirit gives life. But just think about it. When death was being distributed, carved in letters of stone, it was a glorious thing. So glorious, in fact, that the children of Israel couldn't look at Moses' face, because of the glory of his face, a glory that was to be abolished. But in that case, when the Spirit is being distributed, won't it be glorious too? If distributing condemnation is glorious, you see, how much more glorious is it to distribute vindication? In fact, what used to be glorious has come in this respect to have no glory at all because of the new glory which goes so far beyond it. For if the thing which was to be abolished came with glory, how much more glory will there be for the thing that lasts? So because that's the kind of hope we have, we speak with great freedom. We aren't like Moses. He put a veil over his face to stop the children of Israel from gazing at the end of what was being abolished. The difference is that their minds were hardened. You see, the same veil lies over the reading of the Old Covenant right up to this very day. It isn't taken away, because it's in the Messiah that it is abolished. Yes, even to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies upon their hearts. But whenever he turns back to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord here means the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, without any veil on our faces, gaze at the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and so are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as you'd expect from the Lord, the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So how do you tell if an apostle is really an apostle? When I came to St. Paul's, the bishop forwarded some paperwork and letters of recommendation to the call committee to introduce me to them and to see if they would like to interview me to serve as their pastor. Part of the paperwork of the office of the bishop keeps me are the credentials that I use to serve as a pastor in this church. The office of the bishop keeps those and testifies to them and sends out letters that say the same. I am on the roster of those ordained to the Ministry of Word and Sacrament in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. New Testament scholars believe that sometime after Paul wrote and sent the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians, some people came to Corinth. They spoke eloquently, they were dressed fine, they spoke with sophistication, they even enjoyed and welcomed the patronage and support of some of the wealthier members of the Corinthian congregation. Members who, in their wealth and status, could testify to their abilities. They came also with something else, letters of recommendation from somewhere or someone, we don't know who or where. But they thought that these letters made them the real deal. Of course, Paul did not have letters or credentials that vouched for him or for his ministry. So the charge went, or the rumor went, perhaps Paul's ministry wasn't legitimate after all. How could we ever tell? Well, wasn't it Paul's ministry, or rather the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through Paul, that first lavished the gifts of God's mercy, love, and faith on them in Jesus Christ? Wasn't it through Paul that the church was founded and nurtured and taught in its faith, built up in its faith? Wasn't this the church of Christ brought to birth through the labor of Christ's ambassador, Paul? That's Paul's argument here. He and his companions need no letters to recommend him to Corinth or to testify to his status as a servant of Christ. They, in fact, are his letter of recommendation. They're the ones who testify that the work that he has done among them is from the Lord. The Corinthian church itself is the fruit of his work with them and among them. And it was the Holy Spirit at work in Paul that brought them to faith in Christ in the first place. You see, the letter gives way to the Spirit. Whether it is the letter of the law of Moses or letters of recommendation from someone presumed to be important, when Christ comes, the letter is filled up and the Spirit gives life. On one hand, Paul is testifying to his own authority, defending himself to the Corinthian church. At the same time, Paul is reminding those same Corinthian Christians the nature of the faith that they have been given in Christ. It is not faith in the letter, but faith that comes through the Spirit. It is not faith in the law of Moses or its work. It is faith in the work of Christ, which has brought the Spirit to them. It seems that Paul's opponents have come bearing letters and teaching in a way that has led some in this church away from the Spirit and back into the letter of the law, back into the glory of what Paul says brings about death. And not in the hope of glory that will yet emerge in the fullness of the resurrection. Whether it is a pastor today or a would-be apostle 2,000 years ago, the letter only takes you so far. Eventually, it has to be set aside, and the fruit of the Spirit, the faith, the love, the joy, the peace, the unity among God's people speak for themselves. The Spirit testifies to the Spirit that Christ is truly there, and that what has been brought to birth into fruition is of God. The same, I guess, would be true of my ministry. In the end, my credentials will mean nothing if the Spirit doesn't give you faith to live and dwell forever in the peace and love of Christ our Lord. Amen. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord, who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the light and warmth of sunshine, for the growth that is brought about through rain and water and sun, for the new creation in Christ and for all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the gift of relationship with others, and for the communion of faith in your church. For what else are we thankful this morning? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for those who are sick, for those who are afflicted, for those who are bereaved, for all who care for the sick, for all who tend and watch over and accompany those who are afflicted or oppressed, and for those who bring comfort to those who are in mourning. We pray for those who govern the nations of the world, that they may do so with justice, they might do so for the sake of their people, they might do so to make this world a better place in accordance with your will. We pray for people in countries that are ravaged by strife or warfare, that you would bring peace to their land, and that you would restore and bring healing to their bodies and minds. We pray for all who are working for international peace and harmony, and we pray for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land. And for who else or for what else do we pray this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.